This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Instead of most liked host of the station, this year we do most hated.
And now it truly is host sadness. It's amazing. Winthrop to the group text. Great idea, Rick. Very well done.
Yes.
This was my idea.
No, it wasn't.
I'm the one that started discussing the most unliked at the station. That was me.
Well, yeah, but I think Rick Hammer.
Oh, Rick Hammer's in home. Rick, he vanishes. I carry a segment. I have this genius idea. I got the phone lines lit up. I got bananas thrown in my face. My thing is now called RJ. Something's got to give.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Our pets' heads. Heads are falling off!
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You ever think of therapy?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best of you.
Have you seen Adele lately, by the way?
She looks amazing.
She is gorgeous.
Ozempic.
I saw a photo of her yesterday. Didn't even look like the same person.
A lot of Ozempic going on in Hollywood right now.
Yeah. Well, of course.
I was talking to one of the kids on my baseball team, his grandfather. And I forget who just mentioned it in passing. And he's like, can't even get it. He's a diabetic. Can't get it.
But isn't that a problem?
It is. For him, it is, yeah.
I mean, so the people that need it can't get it.
Couldn't get it.
Speaking of a problem, I think I've stumbled upon an issue, which I'm a fan of.
Is this another portal or?
No.
Okay.
Adam Schefter tweets out, tell me if you think this is a problem or not. Attending his first combine as the Washington Commanders owner.
I brought this up to you. You're pretending like this is.
Not anybody besides you and I knew that.
I just asked you this like 30 minutes ago.
I understand, but nobody
you
outside.
Said I came across
RJ didn't even know it. Raymond didn't know it. It was personal.
Why'd
between
you ask
and
RJ,
I.
RJ then?
Forget it.
No, bring it up.
No, I think it's a good point. It doesn't matter.
No, listen, if I didn't think it was a good...
But I thought we... why does everything... Everything has to go on the air?
Everything. That's why people like the show. We can't hide anything.
Josh Harris... You brought this to my attention minutes ago. Josh Harris has sat in and taken part of each of the six interviews that the team has conducted with the top quarterback prospects in this draft. Most owners don't attend the combine. Harris is not only in Indianapolis... but a large part of the quarterback interview process.
What does that mean, a large part?
I don't know.
Does this mean like sitting in the room just to get a feel for the quarterbacks, how they answer the questions?
Well,
or is this he's actively
like
asking questions?
Like I said to you when we discussed before, if he's there because he's a huge fan and he's interested and he wants to be involved, he's the owner, I think that's great. If a large part means he's going to sit with the coaches and the GMs and say, Jaden Daniels, that's the guy that we take, I wouldn't feel good about that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to feel about that because I could understand on one side of this, if I was the owner of the team and this was, I mean, they have the second overall pick. This is going to shape the franchise.
Warren Sharp has a funny tweet.
What did he say?
He says, we're one step away from this. And he has the headline, Jimmy Haslam says homeless man convinced him to draft Johnny Manziel.
Well, Charles, with me,
right,
was very involved.
He pushed them to take you?
No, not to take me, but once I was drafted... We became, like, we're really close.
But that's, I don't have an issue with that.
Like, my long-term deal.
If
was
Charles
much,
went to Mike Milbury and said, I was in the meetings with all these guys, take him,
well,
I'd have a problem.
Right. I don't think he did that. But as far as, like, that, you know, my long-term deal that ended up getting done, I think that was a lot of Charles wanting to get it done.
More than management? More than the decision makers?
I think Charles was kind of looking, you know, forest through the trees where it was like, hey, we have a salary cap now. What's the best way for us to beat the salary cap is... we get a long-term deal done. And then everyone followed suit. Made perfect sense. Right? You keep the number as low as possible.
Right.
Guys will take more security. Right? Like, I mean, if you think about my deal, 4.5 compared to what everyone was going to end up making.
Wait, listen, I don't...
It's irrelevant as long as the
GM says, yes, this is what I want to do. If the GM says, I don't know that I want him as my goalie for the next decade,
well,
and Charles says,
been,
well, I love him and we're going to sign
no,
him.
No, no, yeah. It might have been, I mean, it might have been more Charles then, because I think it was Neil Smith at the time. And that was kind of when Neil was like, there was a lot of stuff going on with Neil, but it was kind of like, okay, yeah, no, you're not doing it. Charles was going to do it. But it's a huge decision for the organization. And if you own the team, you want to have an idea of who the face of the franchise is going to be. So I can understand wanting to be in on the meetings, but like if push comes to shove and the people that I hired that are supposed to like be really good at their jobs say, this is the guy we want, unless you get a completely awful feeling about the kid when you're sitting in that room during the meeting. I don't know. You got to let the guys that you're paying money.
You have to trust the people that you put in place. You have to.
You say that.
I don't think that's solely to football. I think that's anywhere. You hire the people that you deem are capable and competent, and you
trust them.
You give them everything that they need to succeed, and you get out of their way. Yes.
Yeah. Well, because I think the people. I mean, you do kind of put the people that you've hired to make these decisions in a weird spot. If they tell you, hey, you know, we want to take Jaden Daniels, and for whatever reason, you like Drake May better, and then you're kind of pushing for Drake May, well, what are they supposed to do? We can't overrule the owner. He's going to get what he wants. Just like what happened in Carolina.
I'd feel awful about it.
Same thing that happened in Carolina.
Well, you know what? I think you should get your resume ready if that's the case. If you want to take a guy and the owner says, I really love what this guy had to say, I want to go in a different direction, there's no way it's going to work.
Yeah. Well, look at Frank Reich.
Frank Reich is unemployed now.
That didn't last long.
Yeah. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to the company of Jace.
See?
Yeah. No, I see what's happening, and I'm not sure that I like it. But it is what it is. Go ahead, Cullum.
I mean, it's just some people are a little bit too obsessed and too up top of it. The company of Jace is the people that are fans, but we enjoy it and we're not overly obsessed in an unhealthy manner
I'll tell you what. I love all of you. I love the company. I love the company of Jace. I love the company of Jace Jace. I love the company of Jace Jace to the Jace.
All the company.
I love all of you.
All of them.
All of you.
All of them.
Yes,
all of
Cullum.
Them. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I was just going to, I know Mel Kiper's coming on. Me as a Giants fan, and I mean, I've been looking, you know, we're looking
Ray,
into the
can
draft.
Can you stop
looking
the music, into the, please? Go ahead, Cullum.
I'm looking, you know, looking a lot into like the draft and the players and stuff like that, looking into free agency. I mean, I'm at this point now, I want a quarterback. I want them to draft him in the first round. I am 100% on board with that. Daniel Jones, he's not the guy. There's too many injuries.
Well,
I'll tell you what, Cullum, issues.
I think Mel's going to be great. You're not going to like what he says because I've heard his take is Daniel Jones is better than most of these guys and he's a good quarterback and the Giants should build around him. That's going to be his take.
Yeah. Let's hopefully the Giants organization feels differently.
I actually think they do. And I told you, Renan is in Indy, and he's going to join us tomorrow, and he'll have some insight and information on what the Giants are going to potentially
do. Which is good. That's why we have him on.
Absolutely.
I mean, Dan Orlovsky thinks that Jaden Daniels is in the real consideration for the number one pick.
See, what you're going to have, and it's still so long. I mean, tomorrow's, March 1, so we're talking about like 7 full weeks before the draft is here. It might be 8 weeks from today, actually.
I don't know.
And you're going to get... Orlovsky thinks this, and Field Yates thinks this, and, you know, Mike Mayock thinks this, and you're going to be pulled and prodded in a million different directions, and you're going to have no idea because there's so much time. And how much of what you find out is true, and how much is it smoke signals teams are sending?
Well, I think it depends. I don't think that Dan Orlovsky's trying to send any smoke signals. I mean, this is...
But if he's fed information by remember when the Giants told you they didn't like Kayvon Thibodeau?
Yep.
We don't want him. We're not going to take him. And then you get to the draft, and they take him 5?
Yeah, I remember that. I think depends on who you trust that's just giving you their personal opinion. I think Dan's someone that just looks at a lot of tape and feels like Jaden Daniels has a legit chance to be the number one pick. I think it's going to be a weird spot for the Bears because it feels like the consensus is Caleb Williams, like the CYA pick is.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be awesome.
Well, I think that's the CYA pick, though. That's the one that it's the safe pick. You pick him, no one can fault you for doing it.
Right. If you take Caleb Williams and it blows up in your face, everyone will say, I would have done the same thing.
Right.
If you take Jaden Daniels and it blows up in your face and Caleb Williams turns out to be great, you're unemployed.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yep.
It was kind of like I remember Snowy talking about that with when it was Tavares. It was Tavares, it was Duchesne, and it was Hedman. And Hedman's turned into, you'd take Hedman in a heartbeat. But the pick was, everyone thought it was Tavares. You can't go wrong with Tavares. If it doesn't work out and one of those other players is better, it's like, well, but how would I know that? Everyone thought Tavares was going to be
right.
The best in the draft.
Right.
But if you make the wrong decision, you go Duchesne and Tavares turns into what he turned into, you get fired.
Can you believe that we love the draft so,
I love
it. But it's so obsessive.
It's hope.
No, I know, and I love it as much as anybody outside of John Winthrop, of course, but that we're like 2-3 months out and just you can't get enough of it. Like, Mel's going to join us today at 9:30, and people are going to tune in because a draft, which is 7 weeks away, you can't get enough of right now. Oh, he's gonna sneeze. Bless you.
So the plan's gone.
Well, yeah. Let's start with you love the NFL.
You love the NFL. You love hope. You love.
Well, you love the fact too that when you draft them, they're immediately on your team,
and you know who they are. And that's a bit, you know, hockey. It's like, yeah, I don't know any of these guys. Maybe now with a little college hockey, you might know one or two of them.
But that's why the NFL will never have a minor league system. Because college football does such a great job of creating.
They have their own minor league system.
Creating stars that they're not paying for.
Right.
Before they get to.
Like, the NFL. You know everybody at Alabama. Yep. You know everybody at Michigan. You know everybody at Notre Dame and Ohio State. And you've seen Marvin Harrison and you've seen Caleb Williams. And you know that he went into the crowd and he cried on his mother's shoulder. Right? You know all the intimate details about these guys.
They're established stars already.
That's right. And then you know, like, you have a connection with them.
Yeah, like hockey, we get it occasionally. Like, when there's so much, you know, there's so much publicity around, you know, Connor McDavid or. Bedard, like, people, you start paying attention because they're all over the place and you get a chance to see them.
Right.
And then they get drafted, and those guys, because they're so good, are immediately on your team. But yeah, I mean, college football does a great job with that.
Let's hear from Joe Douglas a little bit more. This is an interesting one. Is Woody Johnson frustrated? Before we even play it, what do you think he's going to say about
yes.
this? Yeah. All right, here's Joe Douglas. Is Woody frustrated?
I mirror the frustration that Woody has, and Woody and I talk every day, just about every day. And so, you know, we're certainly on the same page. And again, I like the position we're in. There's a lot of talent coming back to this team. We have to add more to it. We know exactly what we have to do moving forward. And the pressure is always intrinsic in this job. Whenever you walk in every day, I can tell you that we're not stressed. We're prepared to answer the bell here with the decisions that have to be made moving forward. And so a lot of that has to do with the meetings that we had after the last time I talked to you guys. And I feel really good about all of us, the personnel staff and coaching staff, analytics, everybody being on the same page.
Woody Johnson is frustrated, and rightfully so. He should be frustrated. This team is
failed.
Well,
you've already heard that he's frustrated. I mean, he said it's pretty much a playoff mandate on this team. But
right.
I understand how you could. See, I hate when people say stuff like that. It always drives. It's like one of my big pet peeves.
What?
Like, I would. I'd do it again. I'd make that same decision over. Well, it didn't work out. Why would you make the same decision?
Nobody would
do
that.
I like the play. I like where we're at. How could you like where you're at?
Like where you're at?
Right.
You haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years.
You don't have an offensive line. Your quarterback
You had a backup quarterback who was one of the laughing stocks of the league.
You missed on the second overall pick. You got a quarterback that's going to be 41 in December that's coming off an Achilles tear. Like, what do you mean you like where you're at?
You can't like where you're at.
What? We love our coaching staff. How do you love your coaching staff?
Oh, right. What do you, Nathaniel Hackett, they couldn't have run him out of Denver any quicker. People consider Robert Saleh, a coach with experience in this league, as one of the worst.
You're trying to bring in Arthur Smith to help out Nathaniel Hackett.
How could you like where you're at?
What are you talking about? Come on, man.
I mean, what a bizarre thing to say.
You don't like where you're at.
What do you like about it? You know,
you know what?
I love our defense.
Yes.
I think we're a defensive team. We have a defensive head coach. We have pieces on offense. There's some things we have to shore up.
And we got a lot of work to do.
We got a lot of work to do this offseason. I like where we're at.
No. I don't like where we're at.
Teams that like where they're at don't have, like, gaping holes on their team. The Cowboys should like where they're at. They have to fix something. The Niners should like where they're at. The Chiefs should like where they're at. The Jets cannot like where they're at.
He likes it.
What does he like?
I don't know. He likes where they're at.
You imagine what I would do if Joe Shane came out? Like, Joe, what do you think about this whole thing? I like where we're at. No, you can't. Fan base is going to turn on you. I like where we're at.
Where are you living? Right on the 66th in Columbus. Right there on that corner, like where I'm at.
I love it here.
You don't.
I love it here.
I like where we're at. Ugh. How can you like where you're at?
I live in a van down by the river.
That's such a...
We used to have a kid in school, the headmaster's son used to do that.
He's just sleeping in a van by the river?
No, the inspirational, the Chris Farley.
Yeah, yeah.
The funniest, it was perfect. Maybe the funniest impression of it.
Is that right?
Oh, it was so good. He'd come in with the belly and the jacket tight, and the guy, he'd start doing it. Awesome.
I like where we're at.
Like where we're at.
They have the longest drought of any team in any sport here.
Yep.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, longest drought, the Jets.
Likes where we're at.
So that's what, 30-ish times, so 120-ish teams. Longest drought.
RJ, where's that tunnel?
Don't you dare bring him to that tunnel.
Tunnel closed.
Don't you dare.
Just poke your head in.
Cassie's gonna come home one day and there's gonna be a big giant hole in the backyard. What's that? I think it's the fan tunnel. I'm gonna try to tunnel myself to a different team.
If you could leave and go to another team, what would that team be? You said the Chiefs, right?
Well, I mean, I guess that would seem like the easiest decision.
It's disgusting.
I mean, it's a gross decision, but I mean, if you've been starved for something for so long.
RJ, you want him on your Niners bandwagon?
I'd feel wrong about it, but I think I would take him.
You take him?
Yeah.
Well, what team would you choose?
I can't.
No, answer that question. Right.
I mean, it's like if you said to me, you know, if you left your wife for another woman, who would you choose? The answer is no one.
Well, that's a silly question.
I can't choose another team.
I understand that. It's a silly question. But if you're someone that's been starved for the playoffs in 13 seasons, there's really one team you would point to and feel pretty good that you're going to have immediate success.
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, he's got...
Yeah, but you wouldn't feel good about it.
I would feel terrible about it.
On an immediate success, it would eat away at you.
No, but it'd be like you're separated, you're done with your wife, you get divorced, or she passed away, whatever, and the second it's over, you go get a prostitute.
Jeez.
You don't feel great about it. But I'm saying that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. It's not like I'm not going to go try to find someone. You go do that. It's guaranteed.
I think that's a great
analogy.
Yeah, it's a great analogy.
That was RJ.
I mean, it was so eloquently put. You get a prostitute.
RJ, is that not a terrific analogy?
Oh, boy.
The guy's in the AFC Championship game every year. Every year. He's got three Super Bowls. Three.
Yeah, no, I understand that they're very successful.
We have one. One single Super Bowl.
Not in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Not in my lifetime.
13 seasons.
I know.
Right to bubbles. That's it.
You really have some...
You mock me. Because you look at me and you mock me.
You really have some deep-seated issues.
You have a mocky face.
But by the way, this idea that I'm the only troubled person on the show, RJ, could not be further from the truth. This guy is a disaster.
I don't think anyone said you're the only troubled guy on the show. Just the most trouble.
I would say, Rick, right there with me, and you not too far off, Santiago.
Okay, sure.
I think I made one of the great analogies in the show's history right there.
Like a prostitute.
RJ, tell me I'm wrong.
There's a lot of problems here.
Because you guys know I'm right.
You're not right.
All right.
And now you've crossed the line.
That's not the line. I've done way worse than that.
RJ, you ready?
I am.
RJ, let's go.
Now. See ya!
Bang!
The sh** you missed.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, of course.
I got a surprise for you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Money?
No. I got to leave myself about 2 minutes.
Someone passed away?
Money.
You want to get into?
No.
Like in a big obituary?
Somebody's going to try to kill your fandom.
Oh, yeah, we got
I'm not talking to Winthrop.
Yes,
I'm
we
not
are.
I'm not
you
talking well, to
you. You don't control the segment.
You don't have to talk.
That's fine.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared of nothing.
Ooh.
It's you know what it is? It's a waste of my time.
Wow.
Is what it is.
Waste of time.
I'd rather pick at my ear hairs than having to listen to
it. He called you lazy the other day. Now he called you scared.
I'm scared of nothing.
All right.
Is irrelevant to me. I could find 30 people who are closer to the football fan I am.
30?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow. I'll walk down Columbus Avenue after the show and be like, excuse me, madam, are you... I love the Chiefs.
You're a football savant.
She probably came from the tunnels.
Probably so.
Jets are looking for a trade partner for Zach Wilson. That no surprise. What perhaps will be a surprise to some. Franchise tag off the table with Bryce Huff. And the Jets' Joe Douglas did not close the door on a long-term deal, but said if Huff is back, it will not be on the tag.
It doesn't sound like he's going to be back.
He's not going to be back.
No.
$21 million is what the defensive end tag will be for Huff and the Jets. Chiefs have, speak of the fan tunnel, released MVS. Saves him $12 million. By the way, 2 years ago, caught 42 passes from...
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you want?
No.
Valdez-Scantling?
No. No.
Does it matter what you want, though?
Kind of.
I mean, like you. It matters what Aaron wants.
Does he really want that
exclusively?
Now? I don't know. Cool. I don't know what he wants. Six NFL teams are proposing to move the trade deadline back in the NFL from week 8 to week 10.
That would be good.
I would agree. Player survey. Over 1,700 players in the NFL, according to the Players Union. All rank different facilities, training staffs, ownership, coaching. Had an algorithm, threw it into a pot. You know who came out on top?
Yeah, I know.
Dolphins.
Cool. Dolphins and Vikings.
Vikings,
two.
Second. Those two far and away. top two teams, according to players. The 31st team, which would really debunk whether or not this poll matters, the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the owner got what rating?
F-.
See, but you guys, here's what you guys don't understand.
Okay.
It's the stupidest little things.
Yeah.
That in the grand scheme of things, you don't think are very important.
But clearly they're not if the owner of the Chiefs is getting the worst grade and they're winning Super
Bowls. Here's the difference, though. This poll is not necessarily speaking to the functionality of the organization. Yes. It's like the little stupid things that players look at.
Okay.
Like, oh, it's a stool instead of a chair.
Right.
That was a Kansas City thing.
Yeah.
Right. But clearly it doesn't impact the way they play football.
Right. But it's like with the Islanders. We didn't get direct deposit. Did it piss guys off? It's not going to change how we play, but we didn't get direct deposit.
You didn't get direct deposit.
Like the Bengals only got two meals covered by the team a day. I guess they complained last year, and on Wednesdays, they now get a third.
Wait, only on
Wednesdays?
Just on
one day, yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals no longer have to pay for food and containers leaving the facility.
We didn't get snack.
Some of these things make a difference, man.
This stuff, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, and some of it is weird. By the way, I saw this. The Jets, like, food preparation and setup got like a C.
I think it was nice.
You've seen the food.
That's my point. Like, how much of this can you take seriously? They had like eggs with egg yellows. They had a separate vat of egg whites. I mean,
we weren't even in the real
egg yellows.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying like a regular
the
egg and then the egg
was
whites.
Behind where we did the show this year inside. Remember when we walked to the indoor field? That was their cafeteria. We were up in like the...
So we were in the lesser cafeteria?
Yeah.
Right. And the lesser was cafeteria nice. Was great. It all the yogurts out there.
But you don't know how comparisons do. See how, but they're also comparing it to what they hear from their buddies or wherever else they've been.
I'm sure there's better, but this is, I don't know, really, really nice.
Giants,
why is John Winthrop coming in the middle of the segment?
You know why.
You'll see. Giants checked in number 8, Jets at 21. According to reports, 14-team college football playoff gaining momentum.
we haven't even played 12 yet.
It's coming this year. Could be knocking on the door for 14 in 2026.
Doing great.
Men's college hoops, busy night. Number 4, Tennessee. You know who's a nice player in Tennessee?
Oh, wow.
Dalton Connect.
Yeah, he's good. We scored 39 last night.
Yeah, 92 over number 11, Auburn, 84. Kyle Filipowski, he seems okay. Back on the floor, number 10, Duke beats Louisville. Pounds them, 85-59.
They stink.
Yeah, after Filipowski's knee was hurt in that court storming against Wake Forest. St. John's, nice win over Butler, 82-59. Caitlin Clark needs 18 points to pass Pistol Pete Maravich for the most of any women's or men's D1 player. Iowa's got one regular season game left on Sunday, big one against number 2 Ohio
Pistol
State.
Pistol Pete did it in 3 years, though, right?
With no three-point line.
Correct. LeBron picked up the biggest fourth-quarter comeback of any team he's ever been on. 21 points, Lakers trailed the Clippers and came back to win by 4. LeBron single-handedly outscored the Clippers.
He outscored them,
19-16 in the fourth quarter.
He is unbelievable.
He really is.
It makes total sense, too, that he wants to do a multi-year extension, though.
Yep.
Because it feels like Bronny's going to go back, should go back.
He wants to go back to school.
Yeah. ESPN.com had a mock draft. 2-rounder did not have him in it. Had him in next year's class.
The fact that he's even playing right now.
Yeah. Yep. Lakers up to the number 9 seed in the West. Only 3 games, though, behind the number 5 Suns. Luka celebrated his 25th birthday in style. 11th triple-double of the year. 30-16-11. Not bad. Mavs over the Raptors by 11. Luka scored 25 or more in 9 straight games. Knicks heard back about their February 12th loss to the Rockets. Yeah, they still lose.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's over now. Artemi Panarin, 3 points. Igor, 30 saves. Rangers, first team to 40 wins in the NHL.
That's
congratulations.
Nice.
Beat the Blue Jackets 4-1.
I think nobody has more points than the Rangers in all of hockey right now.
I think that's right. Dallas Stars get Chris Tanev from the Flames, 3-team trade. Mets, 3-0 win over the Marlins. Pete Alonso hits his first homer of the spring. Yamamoto, spring training debut for the Dodgers. Struck out 3 over 2 scoreless. Know what else we learned yesterday about the Dodgers? Otani's married.
He got married.
Yeah, that means anything to you. And finally, I want to leave a little wiggle room here. John Winthrop has entered the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. Respond or don't, Dave, when it all is done.
I think I have nothing to say. Because
he says he needs 2 minutes.
He's shaking right now. He's so
yeah,
nervous.
Terrified.
2 minutes as to why he's a bigger football fan than you.
Here's
John,
what I see. And we'll give him that runway in a moment. This is like I'm the king and a peasant eating like old bread is walking into my
Do you
kingdom.
Forget he's your boss?
No, I love John.
Listen, I'll start by saying that I don't doubt you're a good football fan. In fact, you're one of the best.
Okay.
But here's a couple of points.
All right.
Last April, Rangers-Devils Game 5 fell on the night of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
I had the NFL draft, main TV, audio, Rangers-Devils, iPad, no sound, following along. There's no way you did that. You didn't devote your night to the
NFL.
I
will be completely honest with you. I don't remember what I did. I don't.
Tell you what, you didn't, even you didn't devote it to the NFL draft.
That's even
I'll give you another option. Okay. Another examples. Mets, they're playing a September
but you're,
Sunday
but you're
night
not
baseball
really
game.
A hockey. You're not even really. I don't even remember what I did. You're not even really a hockey fan.
Mets are playing a Sunday night baseball game, yeah. Two games out against the Braves, let's call it. Let's say it's Bengals-Steelers Sunday night football. I'm watching Bengals-Steelers.
So
I don't even know if I flip over to Mets.
So am I.
Don't even know if I check
but
it.
Here, but here's the genius
don't even know
of
if
me.
I check on it.
Here's the genius of me. Yeah. I am such a fan of all the teams that I've set up a den of a wall of TVs that I can watch numerous different games.
I've never
games
said you're not
at
a bigger
the very
sports
same
fan.
Time.
What gets the volume in that?
The football. 100%.
I've never
it
said
gets,
you're not
it gets
a bigger
the
sports
bigger
fan.
TV and the volume.
Over Mets Braves, two games out.
Hmm?
I don't believe it.
Okay.
I don't believe it either.
Well, it's no. true.
And, I mean, come on. You also went to a birthday party the night of the divisional round. First of all, two things there. One, I would never go.
Right.
I'm not even sure I'd go if it was a kind of party where, like, we're going to all watch the game together. I still wouldn't go. I just don't do it.
Okay.
Like, football is
so
life.
A team's at the 24-yard line. You have no idea.
Did you just say football is life?
Football's line.
That's a point for you.
And here's the other thing.
Point for me. Stole it. It's not even his line.
I didn't
five
even say
kids,
it.
All born during football season. You know why? Because they weren't conceived during football season.
Wow. So you don't have any sex during football season, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not. I don't. Listen, all I'm saying is.
Here's what I will
nothing
say.
Nothing comes in the
you
way
lost
of
the point,
football.
Though. That's bad planning.
Here's what I will say. You are a terrific football fan, and you and I text numerous times on football Sundays yeah. way throughout the evening. I'm better. Like I you can sit here, you can define it, you can I mean in my vows at my wedding, the rabbi under the chuppah said, Do you take Dave on football Sundays? Did you have that kind of forethought?
I didn't because yeah. I set the stage early. There was an incident during the Pro Football Hall of Fame game where I lost my mind early in the relationship. And it almost ended the relationship.
Yeah,
and
but is that
for the
is
Hall
that
of
a,
Fame game?
Is that a point in a win for him?
Yeah,
no,
because
no,
we missed
it was
the kickoff.
It was embarrassing.
No, it was well planned out. He explained it to me
that this was a bigger picture play.
Yes.
Listen,
yeah.
If you want to say that John is a bigger fan than me, have at it. But he know deep in his soul, in his heart, in his loins, he knows that that's not true.
I think we're pretty equal.
No,
but
wow.
I think if push came to shove,
wow.
I would EQ out slightly.
No.
Okay, by the way, mm-hmm. This is from one Don LaGreca.
Yeah. If Don chooses him, I'm done with Don.
No, he said this segment should be called Who is the King of the Morons?
Yeah, Don doesn't like the fact that we would put football above everything.
You know what the great thing about, I know we have to break because Mel Kiper is going to join us in just a couple minutes, that Don is the exact guy that Don would destroy. Don, when, before Don had kids, it was, I mean... why do you have to talk about your kids in pre-K? And why do you have to talk about your kids' grades? And why do you have to miss all these things to go to your kids, whatever? Now Don has kids, and they are, and they should be, the most important thing in his world. He has done a complete 180.
King of the morons. That's what he wants to call it.
Listen, I love Don, too. And he's a big football fan. Don't let him fool you.
K-O-M.
So thank you, John, for that. You having another child anytime soon?
No.
I got John 4 points, you 3.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right, so I'll ask you again. Bigger football fan, me or John? Okay, thank you. The masses believe that.
But I love
me.
You, John.
We all adore you.
It's because you get 4 hours a day to talk about
the
big football
He also
fan
believes
you are.
He could do my job as well as I mm-hmm. can. You believe that?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what we do.
Almost as well. How about that?
Maybe we have John host with Grasso.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of random noises in the
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
He is the man. He is the myth. He is the legend. He is a man that consumes more whipped cream than anybody. He's the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hi, Mel. How are you?
Hey, the dynamic duo from Gotham. It's great to be with you guys.
We absolutely love you. I want you to know that first and foremost. As we hit March, your mock drafts are now, you know, all over ESPN.com. We absolutely adore you, and we're thrilled to do this again. So you and I have a differing view, and of course I have ultimate respect for you, but I would like to see the Giants at quarterback move in a different direction, and you think that they should not do that, right?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, what direction would you move in?
Well, so here's my thing. I am not as smart and studied as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll as far as this is concerned, but if there were a guy that they really liked, I would move heaven and earth to try to get that guy, whoever it happened to be.
So you would move up to get a Drake May, say?
If that's the guy that they deem that is worthy of that and they love him and they think you can win big with him, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bit, you know, to give up all, you know, New England would take themselves out of the quarterback situation, which is what they need. So they would have to say, well, we don't like this quarterback that you're going up to get, would have to be the deal. So then they need a quarterback. If they want to give up on Mac Jones and try to build an infrastructure around this quarterback, which they didn't do for Mac, then they could take Drake, or they just say, hey, we're not as high on him as some people are. And that's kind of been the case around the NFL. When I thought, everybody's not sold on everybody. So there's not a consensus on every quarterback. So depending upon the team, we don't know what their rating is. So to your point, if the Giants love May and New England doesn't, then there's a possibility you could do that. But it depends how the Giants feel about him. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going 2 to Washington. Caleb Williams going 1 overall to somebody. But I think in terms of Daniel Jones, I'm high on Daniel and everybody, I guess everybody else. I don't know. I haven't heard many people rave about Daniel Jones. I'm not raving about him, but I think he's a really good quarterback in this league, a solid quarterback in this league, and who is not has been unfairly criticized. And we've kind of forgotten what he did a few years ago when he got hurt, not because of anything he could do. You get injured because your supporting cast was not very good. So, and things just from the start just didn't go the Giants' way. But I'm moving forward with Daniel Jones. He's not 38 years old. He's not at the end of his career. He's not in the middle of his career. He's in the prime of his career. So I don't think these – I'll say this. I don't see what Drake May brings to the table that Daniel Jones doesn't. I really don't. I watched Drake May. I don't know if people out there have studied. Drake May had a rough end of the season. If you watch Drake May play college football against Virginia, NC State, and Clemson, you would say, I don't really think this guy's our guy. So go back and watch those games. If you think he's better than Daniel Jones after those three games, then more power to you.
I think it's the unknown, right, Mel? I mean, I think that's what excites most people about the draft, is they've already seen enough of Daniel Jones, the injuries and everything else. They feel like, okay, it's time for something different. It's time for something new. I want to ask you this because there's reports all over the place. You know, Chicago last year has the first overall pick. They move off of it. Had a chance to draft C.J. Stroud. He turns into a stud. This year, you mentioned Caleb Williams could be going to Chicago. What's the sense you get right now? Is Chicago going to stand pat at 1 and take Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields, or is there still some question as to what happens?
That's a split. Nobody really knows. I've talked to a lot of people. Greg Gabriel's a good friend of mine. He used to be a player personnel with the Giants. Has a couple Super Bowl rings. Was out in Chicago. Follows the Bears very closely. He's said from the get-go they're trading the number one pick and they're keeping Justin Fields. So Greg maintains that. I've differed on that. I can understand why they would. I like Justin Fields a lot. And I think I've said all along, I said it all day yesterday on ESPN, every which way, that if you get bowled over by an offer for somebody for that number one pick, and I like Justin Fields enough to say I get a heck of an offer from somebody, I can get a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Romo Dunze, a Malik Nabers to pair with DJ Moore, or I can get a Brock Bauer or somebody like that, I already have the 9th pick overall. I'm going to recoup that too, which you will definitely do. I'm making that deal, and I'll move forward with Justin Fields. If I don't get that type of offer, then I get a 2 and a 4 for Justin, and I make that trade, and I recoup the 2 that way for the Montez Sweat trade. So, and I think Atlanta would be the team that would make the most sense for Justin Fields, in my opinion. So, you know, I think it just depends on what type of offer they get. I think Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are, you know, Justin's on his way to being a really good quarterback in this league. We certainly expect Caleb Williams to be a potentially great quarterback in this league.
So, Mel, and I know this is people are split on Drake May. I've heard a bunch of different things about him. But say, for example, to Dave's first question, there was a chance to have an offer that was good enough to entice Chicago. Would you be okay with the Giants making that kind of offer to get up and get Caleb Williams?
Caleb's a special quarterback, potentially. I mean, he has that chance to be, you know, I hate the comps to Patrick Mahomes. There was a comp to Aaron Rodgers, Matt Miller had yesterday. Comps are always two great players. They're never the average player. So we're always given the unrealistic expectations with comps. Every first-round picks comp to a guy that's already been spectacular in the NFL, so that's why I hate those. But in terms of the number one pick overall, it's going to be expensive to go from 6 to 1. Obviously, you have the 2 twos, but to move up that far to get Caleb Williams when you have Daniel Jones, you're going to have to give up a lot. Remember, you have to build around your quarterback. Just Daniel Jones or Caleb Williams. Daniel Jones got hurt for a reason. So, again, I don't care who the quarterback is. They got to get better around that quarterback. And one of the key pieces is adding receiver, making sure that offensive line is solid. So you give up all these draft picks, a rookie quarterback, you know, coming into that situation, good luck. So to me, it depends on how much you have to give up. That also dictates whether Chicago will make that deal. If it's not enough, Chicago to me is, you know, if you say take Caleb Williams and trade. If you're not going to get a lot, you can get a 2 and a 4 for Justin. Make that deal.
He's Mel Kiper Jr., 98.7 ESPN. In 5 years from now, Mel, the one player in this draft that you believe is can't miss would be who?
Can't miss.
Yeah.
Wow. I think the receivers are, I think there's a lot of those guys. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Odunze, or Malik Nabers are going to do anything but be stars in this league. Brock Bowers is going to be an outstanding player in this league. So I would say the receiving guys, or those guys right there, I think there's some safe offensive line picks that you're not going to bust out on, that you have versatility with, that you can move a left tackle over to right tackle. Joe Alt's case, you can do that. But I do think the receivers, I think they're the guys, whether it be Harrison Jr., Odunze, Nabers, and Bowers. I think all four of those guys are going to be outstanding in this league where it's all set up for them. I mean, they're great players, but in the NFL, obviously, you can't rough them up. You get the interference penalties. You get all this. These guys are all guys who can go get the football. So I think the four receiving entities are the guys that can't miss.
So, Mel, what do the Jets do? Because, I mean, they need pretty much an entire offensive line. And you mentioned Brock Bowers in your latest mock. You have Brock Bowers, who I think is a stud. So I guess I'll pose the question this way. What is the drop-off from 10 to the third round when the Jets pick again for offensive linemen? Can they still get a good offensive lineman and take Brock Bowers with the 10th pick?
You could, yeah. Roger Rosengarten, who had a rough championship game at Washington, I thought he would go back. He's coming out. If he could have gone back and had a big year, he could have been a first-round pick. So if you were going to look at that last game and say, oh, yeah, he struggled. Well, yeah, he had a heck of a career going, and I think he could have been a first-round pick. So Rosengarten from Washington's one. And there will be some others that could drop into that third, fourth-round area. But in terms of the Jets, I tried to get an offensive lineman. I moved J.C. Latham from Alabama up to that fifth spot because he's red hot right now. And I thought with Harbaugh and with Joe Ortiz coming from Eric DeCosta and Ozzie Newsome with the Ravens, what do they love? Alabama players, right? So here's an Alabama right tackle, NFL ready, had a great year, had a great career. People talk about that little hiccup at the end of the game. Hey, it's a great game against Michigan. Harbaugh knows that. So to me, they need a right tackle. That's why I gave Latham to the Chargers instead of dropping him to the Jets. I have Joe Walt going to Tennessee. They could take a receiver. They could take a Nabers Odunze. That would push Alt down. Couldn't do that here. Olu Fashanu from Penn State. It's a mixed opinion. I gave him to the Jets in the first mock. I didn't hear. We'll see how that goes because there's a mixed opinion about him. The Jets like him enough, and I don't know how the Jets' ratings are. I have no idea. You could put Olu Fashanu from Penn State to the Jets at 10. I went with Bowers. I have a higher grade on Bowers than Fashanu. And Bowers, to me, is a guy that could help out Garrett Wilson. He's not a tight end. He's a fullback, H-back, slot, wide, everything. He can do anything you want him to do. So he would be great for Aaron Rodgers, but you don't get the offensive line. I get that, but you can find other ways to help that offensive line and just that 10th pick overall.
So J.J. McCarthy is an interesting guy because a lot of people I've heard have said, you know, he was just a product of an offense which was very unsexy and didn't need to be overly aggressive. And I've heard some say he's just not going to be a very good NFL player. But there's a lot of speculation that he's going to move up that draft board. Where do you have him and how good could it be if he has a really good combine?
Well, you just said about asked him a question about the safest. This is the most difficult player to evaluate in this draft is J.J. McCarthy because you don't see him carrying a team. You don't see him having those wow games like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and even Drake May did a lot in 2022. You don't see that with J.J. You see J.J. being solid, making throws when he had to, running when he had to, as he did in the national title game, being a great leader, being super tough, showing great athleticism, making all the throws. So you know he has the ability to – they were a run-oriented team. Their offensive line dominated. They had nine offensive linemen on that team that all got playing time. They had the two running backs. They were just a power team, and they did not have a number one true wide receiver. Roman Wilson's a good third round pick for somebody this year. They had no high draft choice at wide receiver. Okay, so they didn't have that. So they were based on the O line and running the ball. He didn't throw a pass in this. He had one pass in the second half against Penn State. It was a penalty, so he had none really. So but you're talking about a top 15 quarterback. So you're basing on just turned 21 years of age, guys. He was 20 up till 21 late January. So to me, there's potential there, but there's the unknown of he's never had to have a game where he just went out and just individually said, I'm putting the team on my back. He has never been in a position where he had to do that.
Mel, give me one more quarterback you think outside of those top four that surprises some people or comes out of this combine as a hot name?
Well, we're going to have to see whether it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I wouldn't say lukewarm. I think they're both second-rounders. Some are trying to force Nix into the first round. I guess you could see that. He had a great 2 years at Oregon, but it's a great quarterback-friendly system he was in. He had great players around him at the collegiate level, some really good college players. And Franklin, the receiver, is going to be probably a second-round pick. So, to me, he doesn't have the big-time arm, but, you know, he's a tough kid. He's going to have a great interviews. He's 24 years of age, mature kid. He's going to be interesting on second round, not first. Michael Penix Jr. had the four injuries at Indiana at the bad championship game, but can make any throw. I wish he would have been better late, but he missed Odunze. He just had a rough game. He was like a pitcher, just didn't have his best stuff in that national title game. But he did have the four injuries at Indiana. So I think he's a second rounder. I think the underrated guy, if you want a late round guy, is Michael Pratt from Tulane, who doesn't have any skill set at all. No wow traits, but he just won, and he's a little. Everybody's going to say the next Brock Purdy. Good luck trying to find that guy. But if you want a fifth, sixth round pick, it would be Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, formerly Oklahoma, or Michael Pratt.
All right, great stuff as always, Mel. The podcast is First Draft. It's with our buddy Field Yates, and you tape a new episode today. You know, it's not only draft season, Mel. You know what other season it is for us here at 98.7 ESPN?
I don't know.
Whipped cream season. Yeah. Whipped cream season.
It's always whipped cream season, though. That's 365 days a year, guys.
And guess who's going to be getting
it's off season for whipped cream.
Guess who's going to be getting a beautiful shipment of whipped cream very soon.
Is that going to be Field Yates?
No, it's not. It's going to be Mel Kiper Jr. is who it's going to be.
Maybe I'll share a few with Fielding when I talk to him today. But I appreciate you guys are the best. I talk about you guys all the time. It's amazing. How kind you guys are to the guys here in Baltimore.
Well, you are the best. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you very soon. And we can't wait for the NFL draft as always.
I just hope the Orioles and the Yankees have a heck of a battle this year. How about that, guys?
Good stuff,
like
Mel.
Days gone by.
We appreciate you. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, man. Take care, buddy.
All right. You hear? Like, he loves draft. And then we talk about whipped cream, and you can hear.
Oh, it's a different level.
He's like, oh.
We'll get the whipped cream, baby. Whipped cream.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We're having a great conversation, and he may have just taken his foot, put it right in his mouth as a fraud fan.
Yeah.
He might have.
Well, I think you just probably put your both feet in your mouth.
I put nothing in my mouth.
Yourself. No. And they just did. He just embarrassed himself.
No, because here's what he said. So he lives in Florida now. Said he used to live in New York, New Jersey area. Said he grew up as a Nets fan and switched to the Heat. And I said, I think that's okay because the Nets are so, they're like nothing. But if he were a Knicks fan and did that, I would have a major problem with it.
No, no.
What do you mean, no, no?
If he wasn't who he was, that's not, you would have held him accountable.
I'm scared of no one.
Yeah, right.
I'll fight him right here.
No, you wouldn't fight
him. I'll wrestle him down to the ground and pin him and kiss him on the earlobe.
I'm
scared of nobody.
Whatever you want.
I have a contract. an ironclad contract.
Yeah, now you're real comfortable.
That's right.
Well, I got a contract
cover for assault. I don't know.
Well, wrestling. I think you can wrestle.
Yeah. Kiss his ears. What's wrong with you?
Two different kinds of assault. I will
wrestle you and kiss your ears.
Yeah, I guess it didn't come out the way I was hoping.
I don't think it did.
Yeah. You're going to appreciate this. So, RJ, you cut this up. You must have heard this, obviously. So,
RJ, were you as disgusted as I was just now with that?
That was tough for Dave.
It's real tough.
I looked at you before you said it. I go, you're taking a risk here. Careful. There's high level.
Everything that you've worked for in life.
All right, can we?
High level suits could have you terminated. I mean, by next 4 minutes, gone.
Why would they do that?
They could, though.
But why?
I'm just saying.
I'm lovable. All right. So, Jeopardy last night. You know, they start Jeopardy without any introduction.
Yep.
They go to break, they come back, and then it's introduced to people. They're doing the Tournament of Champions. I don't remember the guy. RJ, do you have his name? You may not. Of this gentleman that was on yesterday, and they're coming back, and they bring it back, and they start the introductions. And here's his story about being on Jeopardy prior and what happened to the money. You ready for this? All right, here we go.
What did you do with your winnings, Jake? You had quite a streak.
So I was 23 when my games aired last year, so I did what anybody under the age of 25 would do, and I promptly spent the check on sports gambling and women and alcohol. And by that, of course, I spent $20 on a college football pick'em that went horribly wrong, $20 to take my date and I to the top of the Gillette Stadium Lighthouse, and several four packs of hard cider to get through the awful Patriots season that I endured.
You are living right in your New England.
Absolutely. Winter.
Yeah, so he's a Patriots fan. He had to endure a bad season.
Some hard cider.
Some hard cider. And I bet a parlay.
Yeah, some Winthrop. Sounds like a Winthrop Sunday.
That's right. Give me every team, mix and match. How much you want to bet on that? 28 cents to win $1.9 million. That was Jake Deruda, by the way.
And a six-pack of hard cider.
Hard cider.
Nice.
Can you imagine listening to a Patriots fan complain?
Yeah, I just did.
You don't think
it's just in Boston, yeah.
You don't think it's a little bit ridiculous?
It seems a little crazy.
Like, if you're a Patriots fan, you lose the right to complain for at least a decade.
Did you see the Peter King thing?
Mm-mm.
Where you're saying one of his big regrets? It still bothers him to this day?
Oh, his biggest... I didn't see what it was, but I saw...
Deflategate stuff.
How so? What was it?
Well, that he I guess when that whole thing started to come out, he made some phone calls to people he trusted, like really trusted,
mm-hmm.
and then he wrote the story and went with it. And it turns out that it wasn't the right thing to do in his mind.
But it wasn't accurate information?
No.
It was inaccurate. So he reported inaccuracies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that I understand.
So he feels terrible about it.
Yeah, he would. He's a good guy.
Well, I still like how Goodell handled that whole thing. But
it was ridiculous.
Crazy.
Well, they couldn't put more blame on Belichick, right?
Right. So
because
they had to
he had already had
Brady.
The videotaping. There, so they had gate. To have him as he was the innocent party.
I wrote a song about Deflategate. It's one of my best ones ever.
You did?
I did.
I haven't heard that.
Say, I think we've played that before.
But we don't have time now. Maybe tomorrow you play it? Yeah, that would be nice. Raymond, speaking of you, are you ready?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's go.
Today's three stars. Number three.
I mean, so much on the table again. Again, Rick was presented with the option of possibly using the tunnel and leaving the Jets, and somehow it got compared to cheating, and if you caught your wife or something or other, threats were made to Rick Pitino.
Listen to me, Pitino! You stay away from my wife! Why can't I say his name, though? Listen to me like...
Petito! You stay away from my wife!
Well, to be fair, you were in a complete fit of rage at the time.
Well, how dare Rick Pitino be looking at my wife like that?
You have no idea what he's thinking right now.
No.
Number two.
And that's what's the scary part.
He may have already been with your wife.
You have great...
No.
Well, she went for the extra loop.
You have great ideas. You have great ideas, Dave. Like, host Sadness, the Redux that we're talking about, the most disliked at the station.
I got the phone lines lit up. I got bananas thrown in my face. My thing is now called RJ. Something's got to give.
This has been quite the day.
My thing is now the band.
Yeah, swept under the rug. Your thing is... By the way, I'll poke fun at myself because Rick is rubbing a banana in my face right now as all this was going on.
Number one.
I mean, John Winthrop sits in that chair. He challenges your football acumen. We have the new bosses sitting in.
I'm scared of nobody.
It's very awkward. What is
that? You were kissing.
I'm scared of nobody.
We don't have enough time to break down what's wrong with you.
That
therapist will break down.
Yeah, she's going to lose it, not me. Wow. Your sister-in-law is in big trouble. It's rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg. And
Carpe Omnia.
On 987
ESPN. I'm scared of nobody.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.